And we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 9. We're going through a series in Proverbs. It's not an exhaustive verse by verse, but it is going through each Proverbs, trying to find biblical truths from each of the chapters as we go. And we're in Proverbs chapter 9. And the title of the message is The Invitation of Wisdom. You're going to find Proverbs is a book of wisdom. And so you're going to have a reoccurring theme throughout the book. And many times it's a compare and contrast between wisdom and the ways of this world. The world is a term that I use and the Bible uses to define a worldly system. And we live in a worldly system. None of us can get around it. Tomorrow you're going to go out and you're going to live in a system that is worldly by its very nature. It cannot be anything of itself since the fall of man. There's sin, and that sin is permeated through all society. One day, that'll be all put away. One day, we'll be in heaven. Amen? It'll be a good time. But until then, we're going to have to engage in a worldly system. And in Proverbs 9, it's really almost like wisdom and the world are pulling on one another. And that's really the way it is. For a believer especially, the world is trying to pull you one way, and then godly wisdom is trying to pull you the other way, trying to get you to adhere your heart to God's wisdom instead of the worldly wisdom that we find so prevalent in our society. And we need to be mindful as believers to have the wisdom of God. Solomon, when given the opportunity to be the king, as he was meeting with the Lord, the Lord asked him what he would have for him to be the great king, and he asked for wisdom so that he could know how to go in and come out, come in and go out. So he knew how to engage his world, engage his society, and be successful. Solomon is noted as one of the wisest kings in the world, and certainly this book is a testament of the wisdom that he is trying to impart. Solomon is a great book on how to raise families, how to live a successful Christian life, how to be good businessmen, how to be a good leader in homes or in society. And if we would heed the wisdom of God, we would avert a ton, I hate to use that term, but a ton of problems that we normally would have if we have not the wisdom of God. And so let's begin reading at verse number 1. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1. Wisdom hath builded her house, hewn out her seven pillars. She hath killed her beasts, she hath mingled her wine, she hath also furnished her table. She hath set forth her maidens, she cry upon the high places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, Come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish, and live, and go in the way of the understanding. He that reproveth a scorner getteth himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will yet be wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord, verse 10, if I could pick a key verse, I like verse 10. It's always been one of my key verses in my life. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me the days shall be multiplied, and the years of life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself, but if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. For she sitteth at the door of her house, on the seat in the high places of the city, to call passengers who go right on their way. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, Stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. We see tonight two women, if you will, calling. One woman, she sits on a high pedestal. The Bible says in verse number 3, she hath set forth her maiden. She crieth upon the high places of the city, calling to people, saying, Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, Come, eat of my bread. So we see there's one woman that is crying for godly wisdom and calling out to the world, saying, Hey, I've got something for you that you can build your life on. But we also see another woman. Verse 13 gives us the foolish woman. It says, A foolish woman is clamorous, she is simple, and knoweth nothing. Where is she? She says, the Bible says in verse 14, for she sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city. So she's also on a high place. She's also calling out. And you know, both of them are calling for the same person. Which one are you going to follow tonight? The invitation of wisdom. Are we going to follow the path that God would have us? Let's go to Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless us now. We see that there's always in our society a pull for us to either go to the ways of God or to the ways of the world. It just seems to be a never-ending pull. And sometimes, I dare say, even some of the strongest Christians falter and stumble because of the call of the foolish, silly woman and her temptation to draw them in. Lord, help us to have an understanding heart. Let us understand that the strength we have rests in listening to the wisdom of God and not to the world's alluring devices, Lord. Please bless us now, and it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Starting this service off, I want you to think about television. Now, television, when I grew up, was a little different now, but even now they have these things called commercials. Amen. Now, commercials now are oftentimes when you're streaming something, you get you watch a segment and then you get a commercial. When we were growing up, it was top of the hour, and then at the bottom of the middle of the hour, and then at the bottom of the hour, there were these commercials that come on, and the commercials were there to draw your attention to a product. Can somebody right now tell me how to spell Oscar Mayer? Anybody? You have to be my generation. You probably don't care, probably don't know, because do you know how to spell it by singing the song, though? Because Oscar Mayer has a way. Okay, then you've seen it. All right. Oscar Mayer, how about Vanessa? You've never heard the Oscar Mayer song, probably. I'm sad to say. You're living your sheltered life. You must branch out, all right? Can you sing it? I'm not going to ask you to. Which one? Never was a nut or butter person, so I never really latched on to that one. Anyone else have a jingle or something? Okay, I have the Oscar Mayer. My baloney has a first name. It's O-A-C-A-R. My baloney has a second name. It's M-E-Y-E-R. And I love to eat it every day. And if you ask me while I'll say, because Oscar Mayer has a way with B-L-L-O-G-N-A. There you go. What is it doing? It's pulling your heart. It's pulling you into whatever it's trying to sell you. Nowadays, it would be different. We probably don't have those jingles. I'm sure there's jingles out there, but we can watch TV, and there's ads on purchasing cars. There's ads on certain foods. There's ads on trying to certainly bring you into a mindset that you will be successful if you buy this product or grab a hold of this item or put this in your life in some way. Even medicine is like this. You know, you have a medicine for headaches, and they make it look like if you take the medicine, your whole life is going to be butterflies and rainbows. Amen? And then you get the after effects of the medicine, and it talks about all the internal problems that happen because of taking this, including death, right? I always love that death at the end of your disclaimer. That should really warn you that you maybe don't need that medicine. But the truth is, it's just a pull. It's just trying to draw you in. Go to the mall. I don't know if you've been to the mall recently, but every window has got a product in there to draw you in. And they put the finest games. GameStop is one of them. They put the best games on the window. So it pulls you in to its alluring trap or trying to get you. The truth is tonight, the world is trying to pull you in. And there's also that of God. And they're two different individuals, two different entities, if you want to call them that, that are vying for your attention. And may I say tonight that if we are going to be successful as believers in God, we must put away the world's alluring attractions, the wisdom of the world, and we must focus in on God. There are two lifestyles that are trying to pull us in. One is of the world, one is of the wisdom of God, and we must choose which one we're going to have, which way we're going to go. In order to determine the path we must take, we must recognize the heed and call on our lives. And that's what we need to see, is that the truth is, many times we don't even understand or see the foolishness of the world's wisdom because we're not paying attention. We don't have any guards up. Turn to Ephesians this evening. And it's not in my notes, so I'm going for on the fly. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 6, excuse me, on the armor of God. The Word of God tells us that we are to prepare ourselves for the engagement in the world. In verse number 10, Ephesians 6, verse number 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Ephesians 6, verse 13, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." We see in this passage, we're seeing that there is a battle for our hearts. There's a battle, and there's a spiritual battle of wickedness trying to lure us in. And the Word of God tells us to put on the armor of God to prevent you from falling to the snares of the wiles of the devil. Tonight, what are the things that we need to do in order to have the wisdom of God, to allow the wisdom of God to pull into our hearts? Well, number one, I believe the first thing we need is the fear of the Lord. Look with me, go back into Proverbs now, as we went to Ephesians, Proverbs chapter 9. In verse 10, I already said is one of the key my life verses. I love this verse. In verse 10, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." So tonight we want to see the fear of the Lord is, I believe, the beginning of the process of letting yourself be guided by wisdom instead of worldly influences. Now, make no mistake, there's worldly influences all around us. We go into the our financial sector, we see that money is trying to draw us in. Many people, they live a life trying to gain money, trying to gain as much money as they can. They find that they're going to have security in money. They think that's going to give them safety. That's going to give them protection from the world's problems. And they're sadly going to be mistaken, because no matter how much money you have, guess what? It's never enough. Amen? Anybody been older than me could testify, I guess. I don't care how much money you have, you're still the same amount broke at the end of the month. Just seems that that's the way it was. I remember years ago, I used to pray for $12 an hour. I used to want to make $12 an hour. I think that's when the minimum wage was four something, maybe somewhere around there. And I'd done air conditioning, and I'd went to training, and I did all this this thing. I said, "Lord, if we could just make $12 an hour, we'd have all our bills paid, no problems at all." Have they ever said anything like that? And then when I finally made $12 an hour, you know what happened? I had the same bills, the same problems, the same short at the end of the month. It just didn't matter. Money does not bring satisfaction, but the world will call and tell you that if you're going to have wisdom, you're going to find it in the money sector, or maybe in fame. I laugh at the YouTubers and the Instagrams and the followers and all the people that try to gain notoriety and try to gain fame through these sayings. Now, I like, there's some YouTubers I like to look at. I like following a few that have some pertinent or some entertaining parts to it. I like Dude Perfect and such. But most of them are, you know, they're doing it just to have notoriety, just to see who is following them and who's making the biggest impression on the world. And they think that fame is going to make something. But let me say this, in 20 years, nobody's going to know who the gamer was back in 2021. You just won't. The fame will go away. The money will go away. So many people will put it into possessions. The world will say you'll find notoriety, you'll find comfort, you'll find wealth as long as you have possessions. Maybe a land or maybe a nice car. By the way, there's nothing wrong with land or cars or things of that nature. But where are you putting your heart? If it's in the cars, if it's in the land, if it's in the things of this world. Look, the Word of God tells us that the things of this world are not to be relied upon. Matthew 6, verse 19 through 21. If you were to turn there, you would read, "Lay not up for yourself treasures upon this earth." Lay not up for treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. By the way, isn't that the truth? That as soon as you buy something is the moment that it starts to break. It's just the way it is. Talked about it this morning, passing the car on the left-hand side of the road as I was coming over here. Broke down, hood up, had a trailer behind it, and I was just driving my 1998 Buick Park Avenue, happy as anything. Amen. Got it back on the road. We were so excited. You know, the possessions, I'm not wishing them ill, and I'm sure they bought that car. It was probably a nice car, and it just probably just had a little issue. But the truth is, we think possessions are going to help us, but the very moment you buy something, how many people have ever bought a brand new computer? Graham, I know you've had something fairly high-end. You know, you're techie. As soon as you have it, though, it's out of date. Because already somebody's making a new one. Already somebody's got something that's going to be better than what you have. You see, possessions are things that are going to break. They're going to corrupt. The moth, the rust doth corrupt. The thieves break through and steal. The Bible goes on to say, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. The Bible goes on, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You see, many people fall into the pitfalls of trying to grab as much of this world as they can. And the silly woman over on this side, that silly woman that's calling to you, is trying to tell you, hey, get as much as you can. Get all that you can, because this world is all that there is. But God has something better. In verse 33 of that same book, Matthew chapter 6, 33, it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you. You can have the possessions. You can have the money. You can have the fame. But may I say, first and foremost, you must seek God. Tonight, may you look to the Lord. Fear him, the Word of God says. Fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. We must make it a priority in our life. Make God the beginning of your life. Each one of us, certainly we must consider our salvation when we think of this verse. And if we trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior on a Sunday night crowd, I trust that maybe all have already done that. But just because you have salvation doesn't mean you're continually letting Him lead your life. Let God be the first in your life. Let Him be the one that you fear. Let Him be the one that you reverence. Let Him be the one that you hold up and make Him the priority, for God needs to be the beginning of your life. Each one of us tonight, is He the second to something else? The Word of God tells us in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt have no other what? Gods before me. He wants to be the first. He wants to be the priority. He wants to have the reverence, the top notch in your life. And if there's anything that oversees it, anything that takes its place, takes God off that pedestal as number one, as the highest and the most reverent in our life, then we are not fearing God. Fear the Lord makes God the beginning. Fear the Lord also extends our life. I like this verse. The verse says, "Fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased." Now, you might say, well, Pastor, is this saying that if I love God, that I'm going to live longer? Well, there is some truth to that, amen. As God sometimes will give us the wisdom and know how to come in and to go out. Wisdom and now how not to make the false moves that tend to harm our own life. What is the greatest phrase that a parent loves to hear from his child that's riding a bicycle? Hey, mom, watch this, right? That usually has something about to happen that's going to be really, really bad. Amen? Any parents testify, right? Usually, I remember years ago, I was growing, I was over in Mariposa, Indian Peak Road, down in the ranch. We had practiced for days and days, literally me and my cousin and my brother, on riding a bicycle, and then we go really, really fast, and then we stand up on our seat, hands on the steering wheel, right, and we'd be standing on our seat, so you could see we're in that downward dog motion anyway, right, and we're riding as fast as we can down a dirt road. What could possibly go wrong? Amen? And we mastered it. We were good. We were super good. In fact, we finally got the courage and we brought my mom and my dad and my aunt and my uncle out. And we said, hey, watch this. And that was the, you know, that moment when everything went in slow motion and it all just went into a pile of dirt in the ground. You know, that somebody needed to give me a little wisdom. Maybe I should have kept my backside on the seat. Amen? But the truth is, look, I don't believe it's just talking about the life extended in this earthly realm. It's talking about how God is going to bless your days and multiply your years. He will give you the security you're looking for instead of finding it in wisdom. Look, as I said, two people are vying for your attention. Wisdom on this side of God, wisdom of the world on this side, one of wisdom of godliness, the other the silly woman hollering for you, and one is going to try to get you to trust in things that are just not going to extend your life. They're not going to have benefit. They're not going to have value. They're not going to be joyous. They're not going to be things that will have lasting, eternal fruit. Whereas on this side, there'll be things that bring fruit that remains for this world and into eternity. I promise you, if you go out and invite a friend to a friend day and they come and they get saved and their life gets changed and maybe their marriage gets changed and they start serving the Lord, I promise you, that fruit will last for all eternity. That life is going to be extended and counted to your account. The truth is, it's going to extend your life. The term multiply has many meanings. If we look at the passage again, it says, "For by me thy days shall be multiplied." That word multiply means to increase. It means abundance. It means to enlarge. I like this word. It means to excel. It means that you're going to be successful. And look, I know that the world tries to tell you that success comes by listening to someone's video or buying someone's book, right? Or listening to someone's blog. But may I say, the true success is only going to come from the Word of God. It's going to make you multiply your life, excel your life. It's not just the lengthening of years. It's not just a guarantee that you'll live, instead of 70, you'll live to be 80. No, it's going to say that the life you live will be worth living. Amen. And we need to fear Him. Fear the Lord tonight. He's the first and foremost. Proverbs 13:15 says, "Good understanding giveth favor, but the ways of a transgressor are hard." May I say tonight, good understanding giveth favor. Fearing God is going to be what gives you that understanding. But may I say this, if you choose the world, it's a hard one. If you choose the world, it's going to be a difficult life. You choose the world, it's going to tear down your life. You won't have the victories. You won't have the joys. You won't have the life. And yes, it even may shorten your life as you do the foolish things that the world tries to tell you are good. Tragically, I was watching someone just yesterday. I was down in Fresno. And, I'm not criticizing. I'm not even judging. I'm just making observations. I was getting gas at a Costco, and as I got gas, I saw this individual walking across the parking lot, obviously strung out by drugs, obviously had put some hard time into her life. This individual probably couldn't have been more than 25 years old, 26, 27 years old, had no understanding where she was, no understanding at all. Her pants were all the way down, halfway down her backside, her t-shirt was rolled up, and she was just, I felt so sorry for you. Now, let me say this. That's the way of the world. The way of the world is hard. God is trying to vie you away from that, trying to pull you away. She's prepared the table. She's prepared a feast. It's there to extend and excel your life. We just need to fear God. Now, I don't know the life of that individual, but I know what the hope she could have if she would just turn her heart to God. Number two, though, let's see this now. So number one, we need to fear the Lord. Number two, though, we need to turn toward godly wisdom. Turn toward the wisdom. Meaning this, tonight, go back into our text, Proverbs chapter 9, verse number 4 is where we'll look. We have to make a decision. Every one of us, whether we're old or young, has to decide who we're going to be serving tonight. One of our favorite songs, we know we sing this, I think, on one of the weeks, it's "Who is on the Lord's Side." And I love that song because it says, "We are on the Lord's side, Savior, we are thine." I love that song. It causes me to challenge myself to say, whose side am I on? Notice in verse number 4, it says, "Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith in him, come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled." Tonight, let me ask you a question. Are you making the decision for God? You can't ride a fence. Turning the Bible to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, talking about one of the churches. We're in Revelation on Wednesday nights. If you haven't been able to make it, I encourage you to start coming. We're just getting done with the church at Ephesus. And now we're going into the other letters to the other churches. We're going to go to Revelation chapter 3. And talking about a church called Laodicea. In Revelation chapter 3, we find that God is working with this church. Let me find the passage. I apologize. I didn't write that down. Verse number 14, it says, "And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these things saith he that saith the Amen, faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot." I believe that word cold or hot. "So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and thou knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." Truth of the matter is, tonight you cannot ride the fence of Christianity. You cannot say, well, I'll have a little bit of the world, I'll have a little bit of the of God, I want to have all the trappings of the world, I want to be rich, I want to be wealthy, I want to enjoy all the pleasures of the world, but I also want all of God. Look, tonight you're going to have to make a decision. Two women are calling for your attention tonight. You have the godly woman on this side and the silly woman on this side. This one's going to look real pretty, by the way. She's going to look really attractive. She's going to have all the commercials on her side. She's going to have all the wealth on her side. She's going to have all the glamour and the glitz of the Hollywood crowd on this side. This one, what does it have? It has the promises of eternal hope. Amen. But somehow this seems to shine so much brighter. You're going to have to choose. And if you don't choose, you're going to be riding the fence. And God says, I wish you were hot or cold. The truth of the matter is, tonight, make a decision. Turn toward wisdom. Letter A on this thought, God's wisdom will grow as you develop. Notice in verse number 4 and 5, "Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, Come, eat of my bread, drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in thy way of understanding." Look, God wants us to start the path of wisdom. You don't gain all the wisdom of God right away, but it must begin at a simple decision. The fact that you're here tonight, deciding to be here on a Wednesday night, the fact that you get up in the morning and read your Bible and study it out, the fact that you have a journal and you're maybe marking down how God's moving in your life, you're doing prayer requests and prayer lists, those things are the things that are going to keep you going for God. Look, you just need to start the path to wisdom. You need to start going. Wisdom that will grow and develop in you. We need to see a place for wisdom. It's a firm place. Look at verse number 1. I love the picture that paints when you gain wisdom. "Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewed out her 7 pillars. She hath killed her beast. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table." Boy, isn't that a beautiful picture there of what wisdom can offer. No, it may not be the Hollywood crowd. I think that this is a wonderful testament of what we could have if we choose wisdom. What is it that we have? We see the firm foundation. Builded her house and hewn it out of 7 pillars. The number 7 is a perfect number. It's a number that is a number of completeness. It represents the fullness and completeness of God. And when we build our lives on the 7 pillars of God, we're going to have a very firm foundation. Amen? You build it on the world, it's not very strong. The wise men, we know the Sunday school song based off of the parable from Jesus Christ himself, but what is it? The wise man builds his house upon the rock, and the rains came down and the floods came up and the house on the rock stood firm. Amen? You know the song, right? But the foolish man built his house upon the sand, and when the rains came down, the floods came up, the house on the sand went what? Splat. You did smash? Ah, I've always done splat. I think it's much better. I like my splat, but smash works too. Different variations of apparently between different hills there. We'll have to split the church over that one right there. Different ages. I wasn't going to go there, Mrs. Gill. You just we'll say different hills. How's that? No, the truth of the matter is it's a firm place to build your life on. Look, this world, the silly wisdom's silly woman's world looks good. By the way, doesn't it look good? And you can't tell me. You look at the commercials, you buy the car, you get the girl. Amen? That comes with it. It's a great deal, right? You drink that beverage and you're a success. You'll land the deal. You'll get the job. It doesn't show the DUIs. It doesn't show the mistakes. It doesn't show the failures. But when you live on this side of life and you're on the firm foundation, there's no lies in this side. When you're on the firm foundation of God, though the darts of the world will throw anything they have at you, you're on a firm foundation that's going to stand. It's a firm place. It's also a majestic place. I love the fact of the mingled. It says, she hath killed her beast, she hath mingled her wine, she hath furnished her table. This is a picture of the bountiful supply that God has in store for those that will set their course on the wisdom of God. You can choose this one, but this is where the banquet is. This is just the taquitos right here. This is a whole banquet table. Going back to my lunch meal that I made today, my homemade taquitos. How many people got homemade taquito today? Wasn't that good? Pulled them right out of the box. Amen. Put it in the oven right out of the plastic wrapping. In talking about this majestic place, Matthew Henry in his commentary wrote this, "Wisdom, not finding a house spacious enough for all her guests, hath built one on purpose, and both to strengthen it and beautify it, she hath hewed it out of her seven pillars, which make it to be very firm and look very great. Heaven is the house which wisdom built has built to entertain all her guests that are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb, that is her Father's house, where there are many mansions, and whither she has gone to prepare that place for us." Boy, is that a place that we should look forward to? This place of glory, this place of a firm foundation. Look, turn toward wisdom tonight. You must make your decision. And by the way, one decision doesn't mean that you got to make it daily. You got to say, I'm going to live for God daily. I'm going to choose righteousness daily. I'm going to choose to live on this side of life of the wisdom of God daily. You can't just say, well, I did it when I was 12. That got to cover it. It's got to be a daily decision. So turn toward wisdom is our second one. Fear the Lord, our first one. Let's go to number three. Recognize the folly of this world. Listen. How many hunters in here? I know Sonny hunts. Anybody else hunt, like to kill poor innocent animals? By the way, Sonny, I saw a 3-point buck, just as big as you'd like, right? About a half a mile from my home, stood sideways, its head turned toward me. You would have loved to look at that. It was beautiful. It was no more than 20 feet away. It was beautiful. It won't last long. Yeah, it won't last long. We know the hunters, they like to set up a trap. Or maybe they'll set up a snare, or maybe they'll put a blind up in a tree. And they set up to target and pick out the easy prey. Years ago, I watched Mutual of Omaha Wild Kingdom. Anybody remember that great show back in the day? You can YouTube it, I know you can. There was an old guy there, and he had white hair, and he was the narrator. And then he had this other guy in a safari outfit, as I recall, and he was the gamesman. And they would go out there, and they would videotape these wonderful documentaries of animals out in the wild. And these animals, they would always show this lion or this fox or this pack of wolves, whatever it is, and they would show them stalking this poor, innocent animal. And they would set it up just right, to where when they run in, they catch the animal and it dies instantly. It's just an amazing thing. It's a trap. Oh, not Mutual of Omaha, they didn't do it. It's the predator. The predator knows how to sneak up. The predator knows how to engage. The predator knows what direction to come in. And you have this little gazelle and it's sitting there and it's happily munching on its little clovers and just minding its own business. And out in the back distance, you can see that predator just creeping in. And you say, you're shouting, hey, don't you know you're about to die? And it had no clue. It was literally as a lamb to the slaughter. You ever think that that's the folly of this life right here? To choose the life of the silly woman, the wisdom of the silly woman, is a choice of death. The Bible says in verse number 13, a foolish woman is clamorous. Foolish, clamorous, she is simple. That word simple means silly. And she knoweth nothing. For she sitteth at the door of her house, and on the seat in the high places of the city, to call to passengers who go right on their way, whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. Can you hear a calling right now? As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith in him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. Let's go back one chapter, Proverbs chapter 7, two chapters, excuse me. We looked at this just a couple of weeks ago, and we looked at 6 and 7, the sensual sins that God warns us about. But we see the same picture. If you read Proverbs 9, you see much the same similarities of the silly woman to this woman in Proverbs chapter 7. The Bible says in verse number 7, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. Now notice the failure here. He chose the wrong path. It says, in verse 8, it says, passing through the street near her corner, and he went to her house. Notice it was in the twilight, in the evening, in the black, in the dark, in the night. So he was going the wrong way. He chose the wrong path. He chose the wrong time. He went by the wrong home. Verse number 10 explains and gives us an understanding of who this woman is. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot, subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now she is without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. Can you see that predator sneaking up on the gazelle? Can you see that fox sneaking up on the rabbit? Can you see that wolf about to pounce on that poor little critter, whatever it may be? Amen? The truth is, that's what she is. It's the same as in chapter 9. And notice at the end of the matter, the Bible says in verse number, as you go down, it says verse number 20, he hath taken a bag of money with him and will come at home in the day appointed. And with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. And with the flattering of her lips, she forced him. And he goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteneth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. We see here, we must recognize the folly of this world. They're no longer, by the way, this world is, I believe, more wicked, or its easily attainable wickedness is a snare to many a people. We must be careful and choose the way of righteousness. We must not be fooled by the follies and the lies from the wicked sin. Woman on this side here. Notice some of the things that might warn us off. Number one, she is loud. Isn't the world loud these days? It's just they want to catch your attention. I'm not talking literally loud. This world's style, it is a very loud lifestyle. They want you to pay attention to them and only them. From the commercials to the lifestyle to the philosophies of this world, there's very little allowances for difference of opinion that goes contrary to what this group says. Amen? It's a loud. Be warned of those that are loud. We also see they are foolish. They speak of foolish things. They speak of things that are simple and silly. They think of things that have no true meaning at all in them. Wisdom of this world is just filled with silliness. It's amazing to me, and I won't go into it. I could spend maybe a half hour to 40 minutes just going over all the contrary things that don't seem to be right in our society today. But let me say this, it's a foolish world indeed, and we must be wary of it. We must understand and know the Word of God so we can compare this world to what God says. We need to recognize the folly of this world by its loudness and foolishness. And I'll leave you with this verse right now. 2 Timothy 3:6 says, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lust. Could I say tonight that that's talking about believers? 2 Timothy is a book, a letter written to Timothy as he guides and instructs him on how to lead his church. And within even the church, we're going to find people that are laden with sins and led away with diverse lusts. They've listened to the lie of the silly woman. They failed to heed the call of wisdom from God's word. And so they're led away to their own destruction. My friend, tonight, which way are you going to choose? Which direction are you going to go tonight? Are you going to choose the choice of the silly woman? Or are you going to choose the wisdom of God? May I say tonight, this wisdom is the one that gives you the firm foundation. This one that gives you the banquet feast. This one that gives you the hope to extend your days, not just for this world, but into the glory beyond. Okay, may I suggest tonight that each one of us surrender to this woman. Let's go to Lord in prayer tonight. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening and we, with humble hearts, ask for you to hear our prayer. Lord, we know that in this world there's a tug of war. The world is trying to get us to go one way, and God, we know that you want us to live a life of righteousness and holiness and godliness toward you. Lord, the tug of war is constant. Never backs off, never stops, not even for a day. There's always the tug between our flesh and the enticing the world as it pulls on that flesh, and then the Word of God and how it tries to keep us in righteousness. Lord, I pray in this room that maybe this evening, that with this short time of invitation, that we could make some commitments toward you. Maybe tonight one could maybe cast off some sins that they're holding on to, some sins that are weighing them down, sins that are dragging them down and keeping them in the realm of this silly woman. Maybe we could purge them off tonight. Maybe we could give them over to you, Lord. And maybe we could go and stand on the firm foundation of the seven pillars and the feasting banquet of a great and mighty God. Lord, help us to choose that tonight. Maybe there's one with sin. Maybe there's one with some other issues. Maybe they're trying to gain fame or trying to gain wealth or something that's alluring them, keeping them from loving God and fearing God the way they should. Maybe God's not the highest thing in their life. Lord, may we set aside these falsehoods and put God on his pedestal and hold him there high and lofty and make sure that God is the one that we fear the most with awe and respect and begin that process of wisdom. Lord, this invitation is for each person. We have the Lord's table in a few moments. Maybe there's one here tonight that just needs to do a self-examination, needs to look at their life and examine their life and say, am I living for God? Am I doing what God would have me to do? And Lord, I pray that you would help. If there's one in here that needs a little bit of time, that they would get these things right and that they can move on with the Lord's table with a clean heart toward you. Bless now this time, and it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.